The cost of discipleship is real. To love Jesus above family, self, possessions, this is difficult. And that is the cross we are to carry. The difficulty of putting Jesus first, when it would be easier not to. After all, what else is there? Only the cross. We carry our cross to become like the Master, who carried his cross to death, victory, and redemption. Before Mass today, please greet your neighbor.
Thank you.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. Who can know God's counsel? Or who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp, we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or whoever knew your counsel, except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high? And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. The word of the Lord.
Dust, saying, return, O children of man, for a thousand years in your sight are as a yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch of the night. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Make an end of them with their sleep. The next morning they are like the changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the gracious care of the Lord our God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. I, Paul, an old man, am now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on behalf of my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself, so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do might not be forced, but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation, and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops. But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. It seems that we are always in the presidential campaign mode, and different groups are working in different ways. As you will see in the parish emails, bulletins, and announcements, St. Charles will be sponsoring a talk and discussion on how we as Catholics should prepare for the actual election later this month, and I presume it will be one of a series. My friends and I in the ministerial business are seeking ways to address the marital and family strife and conflict that two-party households will face. Although I did not have to deal with a post-presidential election divorce in 2016, I do know families which have not had a family gathering since then and have presided over two very strained funerals. What would Jesus feel about this? I think he'd feel envy. We as a nation, indeed a culture, are divided among ourselves, and the choices we make in so many areas require that we disagree substantially with other people, including some of our dearest friends and closest relations. This will not be a peaceful experience. The very passion, perhaps violence, will show its seriousness and how totally a way of life defines a person's very being. This is what Jesus expects and wants, but too often gets complacency instead. 3 weeks ago, we heard Jesus say, "I am come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." He went on to tell us that this will be experienced most forcibly in the family. From now on, a household of five will be divided 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. There are times, indeed, generations in which people are not challenged to consciously choose for or against Jesus and the way of life he demands. For better or worse, this is not one of them. Unless you have been hiding in a cave somewhere, you know that everything you have been taught about your Catholic faith is under assault. Understandably, this can be very disturbing. Yet more disturbing is that I think Jesus is quite pleased with this. This is the way it's supposed to be. As a professor of mine many years ago repeatedly said, some truths must make a bloody entrance. Let me add that Jesus is truth incarnate, and that realizing that will not be experienced lightly. The external irritants of the age can be helpful in opening our minds and hearts to ask the basic question of who or what do we worship. Today's reading is essentially an exercise in how to answer this. Last week, Jesus is in the house of a leading Pharisee. He is still there this week. Our passage began with, "Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. The houses of the rich were constructed so that a distinguished guest would be entertained in an area that would face the street. The important people of the community would be inside the house, but others were allowed to stand outside. It is like today when large TV screens are placed outside an auditorium when an overflow crowd is expected. There is a section between what we read last week and what we read this week. It is the story of a man who gave a great dinner and the invited guests did not come. The full text may be found with the commentary in our weekly email on our website. Jesus chose the excuses that the people gave very carefully. One bought a field and another has just been married. These were the two reasons a man could give for opting out of fighting in a holy war. They both reflected the concern for continued productivity and make great sense in that time and place. Yet Jesus says that he is more important than even the continued prosperity of Israel. This was meant to not only be shocking, but positively offensive. He now continues this, but is addressing a wider audience. This is for everyone. First, he tells us all that we must hate father and mother. Indeed, everyone, including ourselves, if we are to follow him. It is customary to point out at this time that Semitic peoples use exaggeration for emphasis, and it could, in our terms, be better translated as love less or put into a lower place. Yet, there is a real insight. If we put Jesus first and live accordingly, then others will feel put aside and the reaction will be strong. And hate may not be a bad word for what results. Our response needs to be equally passionate. A complacent disciple is an oxymoron. Family is always important, and in Jesus' day, essential for survival. Even today, we see how people construct their lives around family. Yet if this is the dead center, then it is a dead end. We are worshiping the family, not Jesus. And Jesus will have none of it. Only Jesus can be at the very center, be the core of our lives, if we will have a happy and successful life. It is essential to be Christians that we look at the way we actually live. If you consider a 60-hour week part-time employment, then is your job your God? If you arrange your life around it, then the office is your church, your laptop, your rosary, and your paycheck, communion. Any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Now, this does not mean that any of us must live in sackcloth and ashes, and I hope that you all attain the worldly success that can add to your happiness. But that happiness must be based on Jesus, with everything else revolving around him. We need not despise the desire for the corner office, as we do not hate our family, but we need to love them less for themselves and to love them for and in Jesus. The images of the person who could not finish the tower or win a war are stark reminders that if we find being a Christian easy, then we are not carrying the cross, and our attempts to follow him will end in disaster and humiliation. Discipleship is not for the faint-hearted, and it is best not to try if we are only half-hearted. So, why bother? In a few chapters hence, Peter will tell Jesus, "We have given up our possessions and followed you." Jesus, after frankly telling Peter that this is expected, tells him as well, "None of you will not receive back an overabundant return in this present age and eternal life in the age to come." Jesus will not wander into our lives and place himself at its center. Sometime in our earthly existence, whether here or now, or in years to come, or perhaps some years ago, we must put him there. It will be neither easy nor painless, because he wants everything we have. But let us be assured that it will ultimately be joyous, because he will give us more than we can possibly imagine.
For the Pilgrim Church on earth, may the body and blood of Jesus transform and sustain us in the light of truth. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who govern or have authority over others, may the Lord of justice and mercy guide them in all they do. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the sick, especially those struggling with mental illness, depression or anxiety, and for those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For those who died in and those still suffering from the effects of Hurricane Dorian, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For grandmothers and grandfathers, as we celebrate Grandparents' Day, may they continue to be a bridge to Jesus in their unconditioned love for their grandchildren. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the intentions of the Holy Father and the successful conclusion of his trip to Africa, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
Every age, every especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. But not our sins, not the faith of the church. And graciously grant your peace and unity in accordance with your will, live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Please
exchange some of the peace.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Francis. Again, I'm from, on behalf of the Pastor Council, if you're first time visiting St. Charles, I'd like to welcome you here today. If you're just visiting or just joining the parish, please come see us after this Mass, and we'd like to get to know you better. Next Sunday, the 15th, we'll be having both at this Mass, Godparents Day. We have a celebration of those who were baptized here and their godparents, followed by a cookout on Aiken Place on the side. We'll have a barbecue, hot dogs, hamburgers, and all that stuff. It's open to everybody. If you are going to be here next weekend, please sign up in the back just to make sure that we have enough food and drinks for everyone. There are other announcements in the bulletin. We're having a full roster of speakers that we'll be having during the break between the 9 and the 11:15 Mass. The listings will be on our website and in the bulletin. If you are not on our mailing list, please sign up on our website, stcharlesbklyn.org. The address is on the bulletin or on the business card. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, you were born of the Virgin Mary, the daughter of Saints Joachim and Anne. Look with love on grandparents the world over. Protect them. They are a source of enrichment for families, for the church, and for all of society. Support them as they grow older. May they continue to be for their families strong pillars of gospel faith. Guardian of noble domestic ideals, living treasuries of sound religious traditions. Make them teachers of wisdom and courage, that they may pass on to future generations the fruits of their mature human and spiritual experience. Lord Jesus, help families and society to value the presence and roles of grandparents. May they never be ignored or excluded, but always encounter respect and love. Help them to live serenely, to feel welcomed in all the years of life which you give them. Mary, Mother of all the living, keep grandparents constantly in your care. Accompany them on their earthly pilgrimage, and by your prayers, grant that all families may one day be reunited in our heavenly homeland, where you await all humanity for the great embrace of life, of life without end. Amen.
Lord, bless our grandparents in long life, happiness, and health, particularly those who are on this day. May they remain constant in your love and be living songs of your presence to your children and grandchildren. We ask this in Christ our Lord. Amen. And I can bless you, Lord, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, the usual blessings together in this celebrated birthday this year. Thank you.